In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive. And make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans. And muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah. Dear brothers, dear sisters, salamu alaikum. This is another episode of today's special on a sad occasion. Today is the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Kazim, peace be upon him. Imam Kazim is the seventh Shia Imam and leader. Today, Thursday, is the 25th of Rajab, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of Bahman, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of February, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. You listen to this program, This episode of today's special is about the status of Imam Musa al-Kazim, peace be upon him. The best of the best. Allah does not haphazardly choose His representatives. However, the Almighty would not choose His representatives based on the qualities of perfection which He knew of and which manifested through His creation. It has been narrated that the sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, advised to his close companions, "Treat Musa, this son of mine, well, for indeed he is the best of my offspring, and the one I leave behind as my successor. After me, he is the one who holds my position, and he is the proof in support of Allah, the glorious and exalted, as a witness upon the entirety of his creation." The sixth Imam distinctly noted that his son Musa was the most excellent among his children and the rest of creation. This distinguished future made Musa, the son of Ja'far, the divine representative on earth after his father. Imam Musa continued the noble mission of safeguarding the truth in word and action, and did the preceding imams. However, the oppression of the Abbasid rulers curtailed the imam's mobility, placing him in prison for years. For his exceptional endurance, Imam Musa became known as Al-Kazim, the one who holds back his anger and grief. We express our condolences on the martyrdom of Imam Al-Kazim, peace be upon him.
Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam is the seventh Shia Imam. His full name was Musa ibn Ja'far, and he is widely referred to as Bab al-Hawa'ij, which means the gateway of needs. And indeed, when we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of difficulty, we should approach Him through the gateways that ensure the fulfillment of our needs. Imam al-Kazim was known for his piety and knowledge from a very young age. His father, Imam al-Sadiq, many times tried to show this to the people, mainly to show where the knowledge of the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi was to be passed on, given the difficult political time for the Muslims, where many started deviating by either claiming imamah to themselves or by following different scholars after his demise. One example of his piety and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his very young age is shown when Abu Hanifa visited Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He said to him, "I have seen your son Musa pray while the people were passing before him. He did not prevent them from that." Imam al-Sadiq, being able to answer, he ordered his son to be brought before him. When he stood there, he asked him, "Oh my son, Abu Hanifa says that you pray and the people pass before you." "Yes, my father," he replied. "The one to whom I pray is nearer to me than them. Allah the Great and Almighty says, we are nearer to him than the jugular vein." Imam Musa al-Kazim was known for his resemblance to his grandfather Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi in both his manners and actions. And just like his grandfathers, he used to always extend his arm to the poor. His treatment to the people and the constant proof of his knowledge through his words and actions made him very popular amongst the people, and this was seen as a great threat by the government, and hence Harun al-Rashid, the tyrant of the time, saw no choice but to imprison him. He was first sent to a prison in Basra, and they kept moving him from prison to prison while being brutally tortured and chained, as every prison he entered caused those around him to either become of his followers or become lenient with the Imam because of the immense amount of respect and piety he spread. The Imam stayed in this state until the tyrant threw him in his worst prisons in Baghdad under the guard of the filthiest of his men. And he stayed in that dungeon, not knowing when the day would arrive and when it would depart. According to our narrations, he used to pray depending on the sound and the movement of the guards. One day, his companion Ali ibn Suwayd sent him a letter asking him about his health and the day that they will be blessed by seeing him again, to which he replied that, "I shall meet you on the bridge of Baghdad." His followers were waiting impatiently, but Harun had planned to kill the Imam. So he ordered a Sindhi to poison the Imam and then sent his body to the bridge of Baghdad, where his Shia would then receive his dead body chained. Yes, yes, O believers, the Imam returned to his Lord, a martyr, poisoned, far from his family, and remained chained like a prisoner till his burial. فإنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
Participation for preservation is the title of this part. The Abbasid rule of Harun al-Rashid was tainted by the persecution and bloodshed of the innocent. Imam Musa al-Kazim urged some of his key students to participate in Harun's government as long as the participants worked to preserve the lives and protect the rights of the innocent, especially the oppressed Shia. For instance, the Imam's devout companion, Ali ibn Yaqtin, sought permission from the Imam to undertake the high-profile position in Harun's government. Imam al-Kazim permitted him and explained, "Indeed, with you we find joy and your brothers gain pride. Perhaps through you, Allah will mend that which is broken, and through you, He will break the hostile and will of those opposing his allies." When Ali ibn Yaqtin complained to Imam al-Kazim about difficult conditions, the Imam said, "O Ali, indeed Allah has allies who are in the company of the allies of the oppressors in order to push harm away from his allies, and you are among them, O Ali." Our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Musa al-Kazim, peace be upon him. About his imprisonment and martyrdom, we read historians are in agreement that Harun imprisoned Imam al-Kazim for several years because he feared that the Imam would incite people against him. Harun ultimately decided to murder the seventh Imam. The corrupt ruler ordered the prison warden to poison Imam al-Kazim in order to cover up his heinous act. Harun called upon the scholars of his court, as well as the distinguished personalities, to witness that the Imam was apparently healthy. But Imam al-Kazim realized this, turned to those present and said, "Witness that I have been killed by poison for 3 days. Witness that I have appeared healthy on the outside, but I have been poisoned." The holy Imam predicted that he would be martyred after 3 days, and so he was. Imam Kazim was buried in the Quraysh cemetery of Baghdad in Iraq, which is now known as Kazimain.
There are things about the life of Imam al-Kadhim that we're completely unaware of. There were times that Imam al-Kadhim had to go without being recognized, without people knowing who it is, and take care of what he needs to take care of. All of those khulafa, every single one of them, called him over to Baghdad. They imprisoned him temporarily. Sometimes they sent him into exile. And lastly, Harun called him over to Baghdad. According to some accounts, on a few occasions he was imprisoned. The last one, the purpose of it was to kill the Imam. And the Imam, even in prison, carried out his responsibilities. Because of this, it is that the Imam was taken. In prison, he carries out those responsibilities as well, in many different ways. One of them is by creating problem for them in prison. The Imam would convert the most corrupt women that were sent to act in ways to corrupt the Imam. They would become worshippers in prison.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. And again, we express our condolences on the martyrdom of Shia's 7th Imam, Imam Kazim, peace be upon him. We leave you in Allah's blessings and keep us in your dua and supplication. Thank you. Have a nice time.
أيها الكاظم يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند
Food for thought.
Salam friends, and condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him, the 7th infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Here we present you a short but sweet statement from him. The best kind of almsgiving is to help the weak.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to offer our condolences to our esteemed audience and listeners on the demise of the seventh Imam of the family of the Prophet, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Qadim alayhi salam. So we would like to condole our audience on this most grave and sad day. In this respect, we would like to recite a beautiful hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam regarding his son, Imam Qadim. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, in reply to Safwan al-Jamal, asking about one who holds this position of imamat, meaning Safwan ibn Jamal, one of the companions of Imam Sadiq, he came to him and asked him who would the subsequent imam be after the demise of Imam Sadiq. Musa ibn Ja'far, who was then a child, entered accompanied by a Meccan she-goat. He was holding a small she-goat, in his arms, and he entered the room at this time. You know, like any child, he was playing around with this small animal. He was saying, Imam Qadim alayhi salam was a child at the time, he was saying, prostrate to your Lord, usjudi li rabbik. You know, and kind of playing with the she-goat, making it do sajda to Allah. Right? So when the Imam Sadiq saw this, the Imam took him and hugged him, took him and embraced him in his arms and embraced him and said, may my parents be your ransom. He never plays nor is he distracted. La yalhu wa la yal'ab. In connection with the imprisonment of Imam Qadim, Thawbani narrates that Abul Hasan Musa ibn Ja'far for about 10 years performed a single prostration from sunrise until noon. He continued, Harun would sometimes climb onto a roof that overlooked the prison cell where he had imprisoned Abul Hasan. He would see Abul Hasan in prostration. He asked Al-Rabi, what is that cloth I see on that spot every day? He said, O Commander of the Faithful, that is not a cloth, but Musa ibn Ja'far. He performs a prostration every day from sunrise until noon. Harun said, he is indeed one of the holy men from the Bani Hashim. I asked, then why have you confined him to captivity? He said, Hayhat, alas, that is how it must be. La buddha min dhalik. Right, so even there's a famous saying in Arabic which says that virtue is that which is attested to by one's enemy. here's one of the cases where this is so. Even the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, the enemies of the Ayyama alayhi salam, all of them admitted to their virtues. But the greed, their greed and their love of the world is what made them, kill and murder and also captivate in the Ayyama alayhi salam. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at Imam Musa al-Qadim in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعجل فرجه السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters dear listeners of IRB English Radio welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem A series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International School Network. So here we are with some of the students of Sevier International School, Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Ali Nasir, and Hassan Nasrullah. Welcome to your brothers. How are you, Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Okay, good. How about Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much. In this session, inshallah, we'll talk about Ayah 280 and 281 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Brothers and sisters, please stay with us till the end of this session. Inshallah, we'll mention some important points about these two verses. And also, we'll mention the important tajweed rules. Everyone, let's first listen to the recitation of these two verses, okay?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. كان ذو عسرة فنظرة إلى ميسرة وأن تصدقوا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون
Nice one. I will recite once Hassan, Hussein and Ali Nasir. Please listen and repeat our brothers and sisters as well. Inshallah, will repeat after us. Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وإن كان ذو عسرة فنظرة إلى ميسرة
وإن كان ذو عسرة فنظرة إلى ميسرة
وأن تصدقوا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون
وأن تصدقوا تصدقوا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون
واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله
واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله
ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون
ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون
أحسنتم ما شاء الله Thank you so much Allah bless you inshallah وإن كان ذو عسرة فنظرة إلى ميسرة Sometimes we may lend someone some money yes like we talked in the sessions before yes we might pay them some money on loan and we might ask them so soon come on you gotta give me my money back yeah you paid him like 100,000 thumans and you ask him okay come on give me my money back okay I need it
yes
so he might not have it at that time for example you were supposed to he was supposed to return it back to you like a month later so You're asking him to give you back like 10 days later, okay? It's not okay, yes? It's not fair.
Yeah.
And also, this is not what Aya talked about, this example I said, okay? Like 10 days after. No, for example, Aya says this one. That if you, he was supposed, for example, if he was supposed to return the money back like a month later, so after a month, if he didn't return, go to him, okay, and ask him to give you your money back. If he couldn't give you, like, one, there are two cases, okay? First, he does not really give you the money. He has the money and he does not give you back. Here, okay, you have to force him to give you back the money.
Yes.
If he didn't, go to the jury, okay? Ask the government, okay, to get your money back. All right?
Yeah.
This is the first case. Second case, because that's your right, okay? If he, intentionally, if he does not give your money back. But if he doesn't have, if he's still poor, okay, he's needy, he doesn't have cash or anything in his account, so it's better not to force him, okay? Give him time. Like he says, oh, I will pay it, like, after a week. So give him time. So Allah Almighty says, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ If he didn't have anything, if he was still having nothing, okay? Couldn't pay you, فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ Give him some time. Till he gets money and give you, okay? And Allah Almighty says something better than this. Allah Almighty says, if you, like, give him time, it's very good, okay? But if you give him, like, if you do this one, it's so much better. وَأَنْ تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ If you could forgive him, If you could forgive him and give him as a charity, alms, okay? It's better. It's better for you. Sometimes, yeah, of course, we have a lot of money he has to return back. Yeah, it might be very difficult for us to forgive, yes?
Yes.
But like less than 10,000 tumans, yes, you can forgive. Your classmate, your friend, your brother, okay? إن كنتم تعلمون If you knew, if you like forgive him, if you knew about what you will get in return from Allah Almighty, you would for sure do it. So, then Allah Almighty says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ You have to fear Allah Almighty of the day that you will be raised, okay? The day of judgment. Allah Almighty will give you the reward if you forgive him or if you give him time. This way. ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون Everybody gets whatever he had done. If he was doing great, he will get good things, reward. If he was bad, like doing bad deeds, he will get punished, okay?
Yes.
وهم لا تظلمون يظلمون They will not be, yes, oppressed, okay?
Yeah.
They will not suffer any loss. That's it. Allah Almighty is just. So, we mentioned some important points here. And I hope, inshallah, you've learned something, but For sure, I want you to refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, interpretations.
طريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
Now we will move on with the Tajweed rules. Some important points we will mention. وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ. The rule إِخْفَى must be here applied. وَإِن كَانَ. Noon ساكن plus كاف. وَإِن كَانَ. Hide the sound of noon and let your reader understand that the letter kaf comes after it. Wa-ink, right? Wa-inkana. Hide the sound of noon. Let a nasal sound come out, okay? Wa-inkana dhu, dhu. Pronunciation of the letter dhal must be pronounced from its exact articulation point. Yeah? Dhu, dhu, not zu, dhu.
Okay.
Usratin, usain, ra. Usratin, ta has a tanween, and next fa. Letter is fa.
Ikhfa.
The rule ikhfa is applied. Usratin, tin, nasal sound, hide the sound of noon, produce a nasal sound. Usratin, fa, na, zi, ra, tun. Fa, na, zi, ra, tun. Right?
Yes. Zi.
Ra-tun, zira-tun, ila-maysara. Tun has a tanween, plus next word starts with hamza. Idhar is applied, right? Fana zira-tun, ila-maysara. Sa, ra, ra, ra has a heavy sound, tafkhimur ra. Hussein?
Yes.
Jim indicates what?
It's jais.
It is jais to stop or continue.
Yes.
وَأَن تَصَدَّقُوا نُن ساكين plus ta
إخفاء
yeah, hide the sound. وَأَن تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ uh-huh, Ali Nasir خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ is it correct?
No.
How do I read it?
خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ
خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ yeah, merge the sound. Yes. In kuntum ta'lamun, we mentioned it in the previous verses as well. It's very easy to ikhfa. In kuntum ikhfa. The next ayah, the last ayah in this session. Wattaqu yawman turja'una. Is that correct?
No.
Ikhfa is applied.
Yes.
Wattaqu yawman turja'una. Ra has a heavy sound. Fihi ila Allahi. What rule is applied here? With the letter lam in the word Allah.
It is Allah is pronounced heavily.
Heavily, yes. Ila Allahi, right?
Yes.
Not ila Allahi. Ila Allahi. Thumma tuwaffa kullu nafsim. كل نفس إدغام ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون يظلمون heavy sound. That's all, brothers and sisters. Now we have understood, we have learned the Tajweed rules. Let's everyone listen once again. This time we know the Tajweed rules, inshallah, okay? We will listen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن كان ذو عسرة فنظرة إلى ميسرة وأن تصدقوا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون.
Alhamdulillah. Nice one. I hope you have understood something from this session, inshallah, brothers and sisters. I hope this session was beneficial to you. We will be here with you, okay, in the coming sessions in IRB English Radio. Please stay with us. Thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International School. And yes, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Sheikh Baghir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahrudin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati,
there is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, "Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid."
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the thoughts and works of the most outstanding prominent Shiite scholars and thinkers all across the world. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio, I have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Home, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about one of the main outstanding Shiite fuqaha of the 8th century Hijra. He is mainly known as Shaykh al-Shahid or Shahid al-Awwal, Muhammad ibn Jamaluddin Makki al-Amali, the author of Al-Lumat al-Namashqiyah. We'll get to this book. But before that, let's be more familiar with the outstanding scholar from your tongue, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, Shahid Awwal was born in Jabal al-Amil.
Yes.
We have most of our scholars from the Lebanon, basically. And he was also from Lebanon, the place Jabal al-Amil. And obviously he was known as Sheikh al-Ta'ifa. Some of the scholars have named him as Sheikh al-Ta'ifa or, you know, Imam al-Faqih or Sheikh al-Shahid.
Yes.
Because of the martyrdom that he had. He got martyred. So basically he was one of the famous scholars, one of the famous researchers, the Islamic scholars, and the student of Fakhrul Muhaqqiqin.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously when we talk about Shahid al-Awwal, we know that he was one of the famous scholars, and he was a scholar who had the good knowledge of all the school of thoughts.
Yes.
Of Islam.
Yes.
Where we call them as the Arba'a Madhahib.
Yes.
The four schools. The
school of thoughts.
Ahl Sunnah.
Ahl Sunnah, that's right.
Because the Shia is different from the Ahl Sunnah. When we talk about the four schools, it's mainly referred to the Sunni school of thought, because Hanafiya, Shafi'iyya, Hanbaliyya. So these were known as the four schools. So he was one of the great scholars, and the status that he had, obviously, he had three children who were also the famous personalities. And obviously, because he was one of the great scholars, therefore, we have many other scholars who have talked about him. and they have praised him, mm-hmm. especially about his status. Whereas we know that in today's world, and even in the amongst the fuqaha, it was famous that the one who can interpret the book of Shahid-e-Awwal, he does not need to learn the jurisprudence.
Yes.
He is a faqih.
Yes.
Himself, the one who can solve this book.
Mm-hmm.
So basically he was someone who brought a revolution, we can say, in the Islamic jurisprudence. And after him, till today, we can see that in the Hawza, in the Islamic seminary, yes. everyone studies his book.
That's right. We'll get to his book and his own explanation on the Lumat al-Damashqiyah. But before that, Shaykh Rouhani, give us a picture of the era in which Shahid al-Awwal lived, you know, up to an extent that he was martyred. Let's talk a little bit about this aspect of his life.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, Shahid al-Awwal, Rahmatullahi alayhi, was one of the great scholars of Tashayyu in the history. But unfortunately, of course, as Shia in the history of Islam, the Shia scholars, the Shia people were oppressed always by the evil rulers, yes. same as their imams. So, of course, this Shahid al-Madhloom was also martyred by a group of people in Sham. Actually, first he was imprisoned by them,
mm-hmm.
and then finally he was martyred by them. And unfortunately, as it is mentioned in the history, even his dead body was burned by them.
What was the main reason, Shaykh Rouhani, for his martyrdom?
So you see that because of being the followers of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi uh-huh. wasalam, being Shia,
okay.
and in those areas they were non-Shia people, the enemies of the Shia were living, that's why they arrested him, and finally, actually, he was martyred by them. This was the story, which is very, really sad, story of his Shahada, his martyrdom. And of course, I think he was very much influential figure in the history because he had a contact with the Sarbadaran dynasty,
okay.
or the kings of Sarbadaran in Khorasan.
Mm-hmm.
They asked him to write a kind of instruction, a jurisprudential instruction for them. So that's why he wrote this Lum'at al-Dimashqiyah for these Salatin and for these Umara of the Shayyu in Khorasan.
Yes.
But he couldn't go to Khorasan, though he was invited by the last king of Sarbadaran,
yes.
to Khorasan, but he couldn't go there. That's why he wrote this kind of instruction for this group of people in Khorasan. That's why actually he paved the ground for more strengthenness of these kind of Shiite kind of dynasties and hukama or hukuma. So that's why he was also, we can say, a kind of politician or political
yes.
figure in the history.
That's right.
Because he supported these
mm-hmm.
politicians. While okay. In the Shayyu, you know, and also our audience know that there are some scholars who believe that there shouldn't be any kind of hukuma or
mm-hmm.
hakimiyya at the time
okay.
of Ghaiba. But you see that this Shahid al-Awwal, Rahimahullah, supported this.
Yes.
Actually, Sarbadaran.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that, of course, he was not of the idea that at the time of Ghaiba, at the time of occultation, we shouldn't have any kind of
okay.
hukuma or hakimiyya, while the Sarbadaran had their hukuma in Khorasan.
That's right.
By writing this book, by writing this instruction
and
for
dedication
them,
of this
yeah,
book
yeah,
to Sarbadaran.
Yeah, of course. He admitted.
Okay. Yes.
He confessed
okay.
that, okay, this kind of
That's right.
Movement in the history of the Shayyu is okay, and there's no problem with that, I think.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
Al-Lumat al-Damashqiyah, Sayyid Mohsen, was written in the 8th century. We can say Hijra in Arabic language, but still it is today used, we can say, and benefited from in the Islamic seminaries of both Qom, Mashhad, you know, Najaf, Karbala, everywhere, okay? So what is the significance of this book? What is this book exactly?
Well, obviously, this book was, as our dear guest has mentioned, it was written on the request of the Sarbedaran. But it is also said that he wrote this book in 7 days. When it was requested by them, he was imprisoned in Syria. And then there, in 7 days, he wrote this book. Now, the significance of this book is because Shahid was, he studied in the Syria. Mm-hmm. He was living in the Syria initially. Yes. And he was amongst the Sunni scholars as well. And the Sunni scholars used to come to his speeches, and he had a good relation with them. He also knew the fiqh or the jurisprudence related to the Ahl Sunnah.
Okay.
Therefore, when he wrote the book, it was a kind of fatwa, mm-hmm. like the rulings, direct rulings. And in some portions, he also brought the reasoning why we need to follow this rule. So the both things were there. By looking at the Sunni sources and the Shia sources, obviously, because when he's bringing a reason that why we do this, and the reason why the Ahl Sunnah does this and we do not do this, all these reasonings were there. Therefore, his rulings that he brought, we can say these were exact rulings. These were, we can say, obviously the things that he brought. He had a good view on all the aspects of the things, and then how, you know, one ruling was changed from one thing to the other school of thought, how it went. So according to that, when he wrote this, it was a comprehensive book which have 52 chapters, which is more than the chapters which are mentioned in the Wasail al-Shia. Obviously, Wasail al-Shia is
Is this again the Hadithi book, Al-Lu'matullah Mashqiya?
It is Hadithi and Qur'ani both, because okay. when he brings the proofs or the reasoning, mm-hmm. there sometimes he mentions the, for example, you know, the verses of the Qur'an. For example, in the chapter of the, you know, we can say, trade, there is a famous verse that we have, Ofu bil Uqud. You must fulfill your promises. So on top of that, he used to bring the traditions as well. So it is a combination of all. We cannot say it's merely just the traditions.
But fiqh is the yes. most outstanding, we can say, part of this book. Yes,
yes, obviously. And fiqh is, you know, in the Quran generally, what happens is, why we go towards the tradition, there is one more difference. We need to clarify this. Because Quran talks about general rules. Mm-hmm. It does not go to the specifications that how you need to do. For example, Quran says that aqimu salat, you need to establish prayer.
Yes.
Now, how to perform the prayer, it is not in the Quran. Mm-hmm. These are the detail things. Yes. The detailed things are not in the Quran. The major and the general rule is there.
Yes.
Therefore, that's why we mention the, like, bring the verse first, and then for the details, we go towards the tradition.
Okay.
How to do this. That's why the books of the jurisprudence, all of them, they have the most portion is related to the traditions because of these details that we needed, right. which were given by the prophets and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam.
That's right. Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, what's your opinion on Al-Lummatul Lamishqiyya? Well, what is this book exactly, Al-Lummatul Lamishqiyya?
I think one of the very important characteristics of this book is this, that Shahid al-Awwal collected or actually wrote this book in a way that it is very, what we can say, short, mm-hmm. but at the same time, very much meaningful.
Yes.
And he tried to write, for example, a collection of ahadith or ahkam of Islam in a very short kind of manner. That's important.
Okay.
Because the Salatin and Umara, the people who are so much busy, yeah, they do not yes. have time to read everything in detail or to refer to in the detailed kind of sources. So that's why, because of this, even for Tullab, it later becomes a very much important book because it was very much short, mm-hmm. concise, and precise.
Okay.
So that's why then later many ulamas started to write explanation commentaries on this book. They are voluminous kind of works by the many ulamas and scholars like Shahid al-Awwal and the rest of the ulama. Yes. On this book. I think one of the very important characteristics of this book is that it is precise and concise. And that is why all of the tulam, ulama, asathid, umara, hukama, and even normal people, all of them made use of this book in the history.
So nowadays, when a talibah, I mean, when an Islamic seminary student wants to read this book, does it need any prerequisite knowledge or preparation before that?
If you refer directly to al-lum'a al-damishqiyya, yeah, of course you would understand the ahkam of Islam, because he wrote in a way that would be understandable for all the people. But of course, since it is a kind of summarization, or it's a kind of short sort of book, that's why we need to the details as well. But if you study only this kind of short, expression of ahkam or fiqh, of course you got familiar with the main parts of fiqh, and you would understand the ahkam. That's why it's useful, and it was welcomed and it was embraced by all the students or different people in the history.
That's all right. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen, for a nice elaboration regarding the life account of Shahid al-Awwal and his magnum opus, Al-Lummatul Damashqiyya. Some of the most outstanding explanations and commentaries written on this book are Tuhfatul Gharawiyya, Tawzihul Mushkilat, and also the most outstanding one, Al-Rawzatul Bahiyya fi Sharh Al-Lummatul Damashqiyya by Shahid al-Sani. We will dedicate a specific program to Shahid al-Sani and his book Al-Rawzatul Bahiyya, this outstanding. May Allah bless the soul of the late Muhammad ibn Jamal al-Din Makki al-Amali, mainly known as Shahid al-Awwal, or Shaykh al-Shahid. As also Shaykh Rouhani mentioned, Jamadi al-Awwal 786, Shahid al-Awwal was... we can say executed in Damascus in a temple, and his body was burnt. This shows extreme animosity of his enemies to this outstanding man and a scholar. And Shahid al-Awwal passed away in this way. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man, the author of Al-Lummatul Damashqiyya. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information on this outstanding dignitary and other episodes of our program, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
This is Back to Reality. Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality. I am Asma. I have the pleasure to be your host. And here with me, I have two very dear guests, Sister Bita and Brother Muzaffar. Both of you, welcome to Back to Reality.
Assalamu alaikum. My pleasure to be here.
Of course, the pleasure is all in here. Brother Muzaffar, shall we start with you? Please introduce yourself briefly, very much, what you study and...
I'm Muzaffar Haider from the UK. I've studied English literature and now I'm in the Hawza, in the Islamic Seminary.
That's very good. It's a pleasure to have you in here and wish you luck with your studies. You, Sister Bita.
Yes, I'm at your service. I'm Bita, and I study medicine at one of the University of Tehran in Iran.
Undoubtedly, after the coronavirus pandemic, every single one of us has been through too much.
Yeah.
Our lives changed, our point of view, the perspectives that we used to have of life, everything changed. And I don't know if it's in a more tragic way or in a better way. We are more optimist or we are more pessimist. Which one it is, I am not sure. Because if it's about me, then I would say we have turned to be more pessimist. Isn't it?
You.
Oh, I am. Definitely. I'm more pessimistic now.
So you aren't. It didn't have an effect on you.